What a wonderful message in that anthem, Joy on the Journey of Life. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Is anyone here perfect? You want to put your hand up, maybe? A few of you? That's awesome. Thank you. The choir. Practically. Close enough. So that means you maybe have a few problems. Anyone here have a few problems? Or at least one. Thank you. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is A New Identity. And today you are going to learn that there are two understandings of what it means to keep the Sabbath holy. That's in the Ten Commandments. You will also learn that in God's eyes, you are more than your past mistakes and problems. You are a beloved child of God. And we'll find some new insights into Paul's dichotomy between human nature, or what the Revised Standard Version calls the flesh, and the spirit. Can I share with you a little of my own story this morning? Thank you. Probably about 8-10 years into my ministry, I almost burnt myself out. Too many committees, family life, and trying to keep a church going. I remember talking to someone, a trusted friend on one of those committees. I'd been asked to join a small group, a men's group, and I just said, I don't see how I can put another minute into my schedule. She said words that, in many ways saved me. She said, Alan, from what you've told me, I don't see how you cannot find time to join that group. And I did, and was incredibly thankful, because it was through the support of that small group I was better able to understand myself and took some steps to reduce my level of stress without having to take a stress leave in my position. So this morning, I want you to think of a time maybe when you had a problem, when you feel okay sharing with someone, and what helped you through that time of difficulty or through that problem. So you can either share that with someone, or you can think about it on your own. A time you had a problem, and what or who helped you through that difficulty. Go. Please stop. And feel free to continue that conversation over coffee, because it's, I think, very important in our lives to feel the support of others. Does anybody here like chemistry or physics? Just physics. Okay, I see a few hands. That's awesome. How many people here found chemistry, physics, or calculus difficult? Anybody find those things difficult? Okay, thank you. How about complicated? You know? It took some focus and concentration and often a few other people to help figure it out. What's the old saying? Two heads are? Thank you. Four or five, even better. Well, today's passages of Scripture are complicated, especially Paul's words in Galatians. So I'm going to leave those to last. Anybody here ever put off a problem? Just kind of push it off in the corner, hopes that it'll go away. Well, I'm going to leave that with Paul's conversation of our human nature, also translated flesh and spirit. So hopefully you're okay with us just pushing that off. How many of you have ever felt bent over with worry or anxiety? Anybody ever felt bent over with some problems in life? What would it be like to feel free of that worry and anxiety? Incredible, liberated, thank you. Jesus said to a woman who had been sick for 18 years, "You are free from your sickness." Imagine the joy, the celebration in her heart. Liberating. Now, seeing Jesus as a doctor, the leader of the synagogue chastised that woman for making an appointment on the Sabbath or on Sunday. Remember the laws about Sunday at one time? How many of you ever here have gone to an emergency room on Sunday or maybe a medical clinic? Anybody ever done that? Absolutely. Notice Jesus' response to the synagogue official. "You would untie your ox or your donkey on the Sabbath to give it a drink of water. So why shouldn't I loosen the bonds of this woman on the Sabbath?" The implications of Jesus' question is clear. Isn't this woman worth much more than your farm animals? Absolutely. All of us have had a past or have had problems. One of the less savory aspects of contemporary society is we seem to categorize people by their deficiencies rather than calling them by name. So we talk about a bent over woman. Notice we don't know her name. The physically and mentally challenged, the victim of abuse, alcoholic, divorce, single parent, the list goes on. This passage reminds us God does not define us by our past or our problems, but desires to set us free. God sees beyond our problems to our potential. To our what?
Potential,
absolutely. God sees us as a beloved child of God. Amazing. We need to let that soak into our being. Now, I learned something new this week. Can you think of a time when you learned something new? Hopefully it hasn't been that long ago. We need to keep learning. How many of you have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Most of you heard of the Ten Commandments? Awesome, that's wonderful. Did you know there are two records of the Ten Commandments in the Bible? Now, I did know that. One is in Exodus chapter 20, the other in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, the law to obey the Sabbath is connected to the creation story. "I, the Lord, made the earth, the sky, the seas, and everything in them in 6 days, but on the seventh I rested. That is why I blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." This is what I did not know. I just assumed the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy were exactly the same as the ones in Exodus. Now, they're the same ten, but they're written, in some instances, differently. The command to obey the Sabbath and keep it holy is connected with the Exodus story in Deuteronomy. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that I, the Lord, rescued you by great power and strength. That is why I command you to observe the Sabbath. The Exodus story, setting people free from slavery, from what binds them. Jesus responds to the synagogue official. He's responding from a different understanding of Sabbath. The synagogue official responds with the Exodus understanding, while Jesus lived out the Deuteronomy understanding of what it meant to keep the Sabbath holy. Remembering to be involved in the work of setting people free from whatever binds them. What do you think binds people today? What causes them to be bent over? Worry, stress, thank you. Anything else? Elections, the love of money, thank you. Keeping up with the Joneses, you know. Absolutely. Maybe unemployment. Young people, expensive housing. How am I going to afford a house? Language barriers, non-access to services. If you look at this month's Broadview with the picture of Greta Thunberg on the front, there's an excellent story from a daughter to her dad who was addicted to Oxycontin, prescribed by a doctor because of the accident he was in, and the effect that it had on her. What does it mean to be involved in the holy work of setting people free? Now, rarely in life is it either or, but rather both and. We need both understandings of Sabbath, a day of rest to restore heart, mind, body, and soul, a day to gather and praise God together, to celebrate the sacred stories and be supported through the fellowship. We also need to understand Sabbath, though, is joining together in the holy work of setting people free from whatever binds them. Now on to trying to understand Paul, the problem child in the Bible. Anybody ever here ever had to deal with a problem child? A difficult child? Oops, there I'm doing what I said not to do. I define Paul by the problems I have with him, rather than seeing Paul as a beloved child of God. Paul begins our passage from Galatians today saying, you are called to be free. Question is, free for what? And Paul gives a big hint when he writes a little farther on, for the whole law is summed up in one command, love your neighbor as you love. Thank you. Now, one of the things I don't like about Paul is those long list of negative attributes. Did you like hearing all those things that John mentioned? You know, immoral, filthy, indecent actions, worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight, become jealous, angry, ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. Sounds like an election must be coming up, you know. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like that. Thank you for the boost of morale, Paul. You know? And you see that more than once in some of his letters, these different lists. There are two things you may find helpful to understand them. One, if you go back to verse 9, chapter 4, you see that some people have fallen back into their old ways. Idols and practices of divination, which were very common, as common as today's TV ads, statues, billboards, defining a better way of life, the stories of the gods. Secondly, what is defined as human nature or flesh in the Revised Standard Version? It might be better understood as self-centered. Paul does not see the body as evil. After all, it's created in the image of God, and the spirit is good, but rather he's talking about a self-centered life as opposed to a God-centered life. Has anyone here ever known someone where everything is always about them? You do? Okay, so you know how tiring it is to hear someone talk about me, 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 I want, I want, I want. Now, the opposite of a self-centered life for Paul is a God-centered life, which is life in the Spirit. And it has something to do with widening your understanding of self so you can make room for another human being and learn to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because you need to know the ancient world was full of idols, of Greek and Roman gods, with all their stories, and they knew all the stories when they saw the idols, statues, of what made for a good life. Today, our idols and statues are all the ads we see on television, the billboards, and in magazines. You want to be happy, buy this product, drive this car, drink this beer. Again, it's all about me. Do whatever makes you feel good. Pleasure is the highest virtue, hedonism. Paul had a ton to say about that. You know? He talked about following the life of Christ. He talked about sacrifice. He talked about service. He talked about learning to put himself aside, yourself aside, as Jesus did, to do what God's will, loving and serving others, to help set people free as Jesus did. Learning to look outside ourselves, to love our neighbors as ourselves, serving others, fighting for justice, builds and maintains community through which we are blessed. The kingdom of God that Jesus countlessly spoke about. Focusing constantly on self, what I want, leads to division and strife and anger and resentment and all the other things Paul spoke of. But a God-centered life, life in the Spirit, gives us a new identity. We now go on to this second list of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. How many would like those things? Absolutely. That sounds great, God. I'm ready. I could use some of that love. Joy, peace, patience, as long as it doesn't take too long. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, not too much though, okay, and self-control. I'm waiting, God. Drum your fingers. Drum your fingers. You're waiting. The only thing is, this is not magic. Maybe that's why self-control is mentioned last. It involves hard work. Learning to love others as we love ourselves means taking time to examine ourselves. As the daughter said to her dad in that article, it was always someone else's fault. The union, the recession, the accident, your parents. But it never had anything to do with you, your addiction, or the effect that addiction had on me and our family. And you didn't go and get help. Spiritual disciplines that were mentioned in the Lenten study book Bullseye a couple of years ago helps in that process of centering our life on God. Coming to worship regularly, having a prayer life, daily devotions, meeting in small groups, serving others, self-reflections, reading maybe a book like Scott Peck's The Road Less Traveled, Richard Rohr's Falling Upwards, books that look at our own development and stages of life, things that hold up mirrors for us to help us understand ourselves better so we can learn to love others as we can learn to love ourselves. Taking time to be still and know that I am God, to soak up some of the knowledge that we are a beloved child of God, that we are free, that we are not defined by our past mistakes, but by God's love and grace. Think about that. We're defined by God's love and grace. Amazing. Paul knew what our new self was more than a feeling, but anchored in an act of will that reflects those two understandings of Sabbath, a time of rest, daily devotion, worship to soak up a sense of God's love and grace, we're more than our past mistakes, and a time of holy service to help liberate others from whatever forces that bind them and keep them bent over. You're free. Thanks be to God. Amen.